Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Spark and Plug Talks, episode 5, I think.
Six?
Yes. Okay, episode 6. We are here with myself, Dylan, with J-Rod.
Hello.
And with Aaron.
Hello.
I was going to say,
that's me, but I said that last time.
So got to think of something else. Our guest today is the conquistador of chords himself, Mr. Levi Walker.
Oi.
Howdy, howdy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming out, man. Yeah, hell yeah. Levi just played a couple songs for us. As usual, you know the deal. Go watch the episode and then come back and listen to this. It gives you a little more context. So, Levi, man, for those who are listening to this and somehow don't know, we are all in Levi's band with him.
Y'all are my underlings.
Yeah, we're his dignified. Yeah, we're his dignified underlings. Yep. And man, we've been playing for the past 5 or 6 months, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. At least I recall end of October and into November.
Yeah.
I think is when we started practicing together.
Yeah.
Man, it feels like not that long.
it's been flying by. We went from practicing, what, like 3 days a week, every week, to being so busy with gigs and y'all's podcast and everything.
Well, we've had a bit of a break. Shows you just had so many solo shows, you know, so
yeah,
but we're getting back into the swing of things now.
Nothing wrong with that though.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. So let's dive into those songs that you played for us earlier.
Yeah.
So we had the first one. Well, obviously we had the second one, which is I Pray, spoiler alert. And we're if you know Levi, you're probably pretty familiar with that one. But he played another one that's the newer one that I think I've only heard once, like in passing.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk about that one?
Yeah, the first song I did, it's a new one I wrote. It's called In the Middle. It's kind of like I know a lot of people who struggle, especially myself right now, you know, trying to struggle balancing when pretty much 2 full-time jobs, you know, with my current job. I work in Shawnee and doing the music thing full-time. But I know there's a lot of other people who can kind of relate to it. It's kind of about struggling between what you want to do in life and kind of what you have to do and kind of the things you sacrifice, you know, along the way, because, you know, it's kind of a give and take for everything you want to do. It may not always be the right thing for you. But I really have been diving into this music thing lately. And since I've been doing this the past year and a half, it's been a wildfire. And it's just been kind of a lot to handle. Sometimes like if I think about it, the last 2 weeks I haven't had a day off to you know, really rest.
I'm sure it's super overwhelming at times. Yeah, fuck, I never get a second to just chill out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. And as much as you guys know too, like shoot, we play all these shows together. You got your own shows going on, you've got your projects, work, family, like trying to balance all that together. So to me, that song In the Middle, I just think it kind of resonates, you know, in different ways with different people.
Yeah, for sure, man. And
yeah, you can hear in the lyrics too.
Yeah, and, I was gonna say,
because we're kind of like, I know us, like growing up in small towns, we're all kind of raised growing up to kind of look for that settling down after high school type thing.
Yeah.
Go to college, find a job, settle down. And so we're all kind of ingrained with that, and that's what we think is normal. So doing this stuff with music is kind of like out of the normal. And so we kind of like have that primal instinct in us to want to get a family and settle down, but also we want to do this music shit.
Yeah.
It's not family shit.
I definitely think it's our environment, you know, it definitely lends itself to, like, you know, chill out a little bit, you know, like you're kind of, because it is hard to say like, okay, I've got to get up at 5 a.m. or something on Friday, go to work until 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, and then come home for 45 minutes and then drive to another city somewhere, play a show for 3 hours, and then get home at 1 a.m. and then wake up at 11 Saturday morning. And then it's like, well, I guess I got time to, like, I don't know, go get groceries or something and then come back. And then you're like, all right, got to get ready for the show tonight.
Yeah, but I think without it though, I mean, if I wasn't doing the music, I mean, the whole reason I got into it in the first place was because I needed an outlet, you know, when I am, you know, by myself or sitting at home, because it's kind of tough, you know, like we're such active not physically, I may not be physically active. If you've seen me, you know I'm not physically active.
Neither
but
am I.
But like there's a lot that's going on, you know, in our minds. I think we're real creative. We have to do something with it. If not, we just kind of dwell on it, and it'll wear you out. Mm. And that's kind of why I started writing my first songs about 2 years ago.
I definitely know
and just getting them out and doing something, it really makes you feel good as a person, you know, like
cleans you out almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting you out, and it's something you love and you're passionate about. And I think everyone, regardless of if it's music or not, should find something they're passionate about. But not only that, like the amount of people I've met, and like fuck, even you guys, it's cool. I mean, the people you run into, the experiences you have, things you would never do if you weren't doing it. So
yeah, for sure, man. So I know you wouldn't say you're like you've been playing music, I guess, chasing it hardcore for more than what, like 2 years? You said maybe like a year and a half?
A year and a half solid. So
what made you want, you were just like, I got to get the shit off my chest.
Yeah, kind of. So my very first gig ever was a 4th of July pool party. I went to school in Luther, and it was one of our teachers over there that taught me way back in the day, one of my mom's best friends, and she was actually at my show at the Oklahoma Opry last night with her husband, Sherry and Brett. Thank you guys so much.
Shout out to Sherry and Brett.
They were the ones that first waved the couple hundred dollars in my face. Hey, you want to come out for a couple hours and play some music?
Hell yeah, man.
And I was like, oh man, I'm not too sure about it. Like, I don't really like know enough songs. I don't think I could play that long. They're, oh, it's fine. Just come out, hang out, and just play. And then when you're done, just be done. I was like, okay. So I go out there, and at this time I had like little like acoustic amp and a microphone and a stand that barely worked, and just went out there and played. I didn't know anything about how to run or mix sound, and I had Katie, my girlfriend, out there with me, and we made it happen. And other than that, it was really cool because it was the first time, I guess, I've played in front of people I didn't know, because there was other people there that were into what I was doing, you know.
Yeah.
And it was probably so bad. I mean, to be honest, like it was probably so bad. But that was my first gig, was that 4th of July pool party. And then, literally from there, it was a video, a share, like a word of mouth, like a friend tell a friend. And I just started playing gigs. And that's pretty much it. Like it kind of unfolded itself, and I've just kind of been playing damn near every weekend ever since.
Yeah.
So,
for me, this is a good question. Is it easier for you to play in front of people you don't know or people you do know? Because for me, I hate playing in front of people I know.
Well, I think it depends if it's easier or more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I honestly don't think any of it's easy. But I think it really depends, because if you have a crowd that you have no idea who it is, I think it's real like, almost like it makes you more anxious because you don't know how they're going to respond to what you're playing. So you're like, wow, I hope they like this. Like, I hope this sounds good. Like, cause if not, I'm here for the next 2-3 hours. Yeah. So buckle up. But like,
regardless, dude, it takes balls to play in front of anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Yeah. And like we've seen it together as a band. Like when you play in front of people who are just really into what you're doing, it's fun. I mean, it's cool. Like
it's a blast for sure. See, like my thing is though, with that is like, I could play in front of people I don't know, and if I suck, I'm never going to have to see them again.
Yeah.
Whereas I play in front of my family, I'm like, oh, they're going to give me shit over that.
Yeah. But I also think, too, the more you play in front of the same people, and at least, you know, kind of starting out, I still consider myself starting out, but the more you play in front of them, the more feedback you can get. I think giving feedback and constructive criticism is literally the best thing ever. Like if it wasn't for the feedback, like after every single show I play, I ask my little inner circle of people, I was like, okay, what do you think? Like what were your honest thoughts about it? And mm-hmm. they're not afraid to give you the earful if it sounded bad or if you were shivering or shaking.
Oh yeah, we got
your
Eddie's
tail.
Mean mug before, man. Oh, yeah. I remember that first practice when they came out. Yeah, I never felt more nervous in front of four people ever in my life. I was like, Jesus.
For anyone who doesn't know, whenever we first got together as a band, it was like our second practice in, I think.
I mean, like, I think the first one we barely even like practice. We just talked.
We just kind of jammed and practiced. But our first, or I guess our technical first practice, I invited a couple people out. And if you're listening, you probably know who they are. It was my mom, Destiny, and then Joe and Eddie, and I think Katie was there.
Yeah.
And we had them out as our test audience because I wanted them to come out and just kind of give the thumbs up or thumbs down on if what we were doing would work. And initially, it was a thumbs down. But what I did with that is all their feedback and stuff, I just brought it to the guys, and we kind of sat down and talked about it. And, you know, without that, you don't really know your direction. So I think it's always great, especially if you're in the right spot, to give good feedback.
Yeah, that's what
to
I was going to say, is that you kind of know. Yeah. You luckily had a pretty good idea of what you wanted kind of to sound like. Like, it wasn't a... Since you had all your, you played so many solo shows before, and you had those, you knew, okay, you know, I don't want a bluesy sound. I don't want like a kind of classic rock kind of sound. I want this pretty stripped down country western kind of feel to everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good way to put it, because I tell you guys all the time, we walk a real fine line on kind of some of the music we play. I consider us a country/red dirt band.
We're one triplet away.
We're
triplet away from getting into
Let It Loose.
A little bit of rock.
We're one 5-string bass and another electric lead player away from being a rock band. Like, but I think that's what makes us unique. You know, we have a sound that isn't, you know, the run of the mill normal country 2-step and dance band and your typical get wild and raving rock band. You know,
I think for us, just like speaking for Dylan, me and Jared, like I think the three of us, we've always kind of liked country music. I know for us three, we like Sturgill Simpson a lot.
Yeah,
but we never thought about being in a country band.
Never in my life.
We're like rock guys.
Yeah,
and so when we put our country hats on, it's kind of like a cool. We try not to get too much into the Cole Wetzel rock country stuff.
Yeah.
And thank God we've never gotten into that.
Yeah.
Because I realize it's really easy to get into that.
I think it's really about staying authentic, you know. Yeah. Everyone has their own styles. And once you kind of find that, and I've been feeling it out, I really think you try to dive in there and stick with it. Of course, over time, you may change a little bit here and there. But I think that's the important thing about writing different types of songs. Like, I had someone tell me, and I'm going to call him out, Dwight. He told me, Dwight Hamlin over at Classen Recorders. I told him, I was like, man, this song's kind of sounds a little rocky. And he's like, well, how about you write a country song? I was like, oh, shit. Okay. All right, I'll take that on the chin. But I mean, it makes perfect sense. I feel like you can write your song however you want it to be. But I think, especially with the songs I write, I feel like they're really flexible.
Well, they sound like you. They sound like Levi Walker.
But they can also be played in different ways. Like, they could be played stripped down acoustic, unlike some of the big mainstream songs you hear nowadays. If you heard those stripped down acoustic, they would not sound good.
I think the way you approached playing music, how you started out just doing acoustic, really helped you, because you can break away from the band and play acoustic, and it's still familiar to your audience because you've played so long being just yourself. And so you kind of have best of both worlds. With some guys, you take them away from the band, they just, the kinda songs
naked.
Songs don't sound the same at all, you know? And the way you constructed your songs sound good with a band and without a band.
I
can't disagree with that at all, for sure.
But I also think too, like, with kind of what we're doing, I think it takes a whole lot of skill to keep, you know, keep the reins in and also like be real like thoughtful about the stuff we're playing, because it's real. I mean, if you think about it, it's real intricate. And
I was gonna say, sometimes it really
sometimes you want to let loose. Sometimes, and it could be real easy to overdo it.
We gotta keep ourselves in check.
And I think that's what a lot of people do, and that's why I feel I stand out a little bit, is because a lot of people aren't able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying they can't eventually, but a lot of people take the easier route and just say, we're gonna throw out a few power chords and just let them rip. Like,
it is like a lesson in self restraint.
Yeah.
And just playing what sounds best for the song.
What's cool is, like, the songs, like, I think we're finally kind of honing in on the dynamics of the songs.
Yeah.
And we're kind of getting the best of both worlds, where we can kind of let loose on some, like, with some of the songs, we can rein ourselves back. But when it's time to hit that solo or that bridge part, we kind of let our hair down.
I think, like, for instance, Bottom of the Bottle was, like, a good example of that. It was like, of the whole process kind of finally coming together, you know, in a way. Like, I remember the first time playing through that and like cohesively, I was like, this is pretty damn good. Like, it sounds pretty good with the full band. It sounds really good with the full band.
I remember we pulled that out of Grady's, dude.
We kind of killed it, dude. First time playing it. Yeah, I showed Aaron the other day. Someone had posted a live stream. I think Joe had posted a live stream video. And I was like, dude, that sounds pretty good. Like, I mean, I think that show we did there, that was our third show. Killer, dude.
It was like, the walkout, dude. That gave us so much confidence coming in, dude.
Yeah.
Having the walk-in music or whatever.
Yeah. Except my pants were way too tight.
Yeah. Well, you were also, like, pretty dead.
I was. Yeah,
you were sick.
You were sick.
One of Angelina's friends, she was like,
were tight as hell.
Was the drummer okay?
Sick.
And I was like, he was sick as fuck. Because you were. I look back there sometimes, and you'd be like, fucking like fading off.
I was drinking like a Diet Coke or something. That's what they had back in the green room or something. Man, that's wild. Well, Levi, how long? When did you get started playing? Like, what made you kind of start playing?
So I started playing music. About when I was 9 years old, I was young. I mean, I would say guitar and stuff. When I was younger, I was like in middle school, like band and stuff. And
I was going to say our first gig, when we were talking about first gigs earlier, was like, I guess, would you say it was the cover band high school?
Jesus.
Well, was that like technically
we
our
don't,
first
we don't
show
talk about
or
those
something?
Days.
That's a whole podcast with it. So
was that our
but,
first show?
But anyways, I started playing about when I was 9 years old. I got my very first acoustic guitar. My kind of influence for wanting to do that was my grandpa on my mom's side, my grandpa Fred. And he growing up, he was like our music. He was our music entertainment. He was our talent in the family.
Yeah.
And it was my mom, my aunt, my cousins, which I just consider my brothers and sisters. Shout out to Kristen and Trent. But we would be at the Blue River in Oklahoma, and we had that spot out there, and that's. Kind of where I listened to my first concert, quote unquote, but it would be just playing music and singing, sitting around a fire, hanging out, you know, just kind of enjoying nature and life. And it was a good time and a good feeling. And I think I kind of wanted to incorporate that into what I want to do because I wanted to replicate that.
Mm.
So, when I got my first guitar, I have a lot of people in my family. I consider a lot of people like my second mom, my second dads, my brothers, my sisters. I don't just call them friends and stuff. But one of my other moms, Chris, we went to Guitar Center one day, and I got this little starter, like Yamaha acoustic guitar, and I took that home, and she was trying to show me some chords, and I could not, I would get so frustrated because I could not for the life of me figure it out.
It was all Wonderwall and Seven Nation Army from there.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a whole lot of Wagon Wheel from there, I tell you. But anyways, I mean, that was it. I pretty much learned a couple basic chords, and that was all it was from there on out. Like, I didn't really pursue it. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't even know. I couldn't sing and play until just about 2 years ago at the same time. So literally, this is all new to me. So
it's hard for people to appreciate just how difficult that is.
Yeah. So when I really say like I started playing music about 2 years ago, it's true because I couldn't really do it, you know, other than just play two or three songs. I would say whenever I'd graduated college, I had a little bit more freedom to do what I wanted. I'd moved out. I'd moved to town in Davenport, got a job in Shawnee. Our good family, Brad and Courtney Gaylord, they encouraged me to get up on stage and kind of play at the church in Davenport. So I was kind of up there just playing rhythm guitar, and I would have to separate it because I couldn't play and sing yet. So I would play rhythm on some songs, and I'd sing a couple songs, and people were really into it, and I just got more and more comfortable with it. But also at that time, as I'd mentioned earlier, you know, you go home and you just kind of be in your own head and you start writing some stuff down, because I think the best way to get things out of your head is to write it down. And wrote a couple songs, wrote my very first song, and I played it. And you guys have all heard about it, but our spot at the lake, at Lake Eufaula, I played this song in front of a couple of our family over there over and over and over and over. I was like, what do you guys think of this? And then I'd play it and do it again. And they tell me, do it again. So I'd do it and play it and say, do it again. So I played it again. And, they said, I think you really got kind of something going here. Just keep writing, keep playing, keep practicing. And next thing you know, I'm playing at that 4th of July party and I'm getting gigs. And then here we are, you know, we're about to go to Fort Worth here in a month and play at the PBR World Finals in the Fort Worth Stockyard. So, I mean, it's just, it's crazy trying to rein everything in, how fast things are moving. And it's just been insane, kind of.
Yeah, tell yourself to slow it down and appreciate it, because it'll be, God knows where we're going to be like in a year.
Yeah,
you know?
For real.
Yeah, that's no doubt.
Because I remember when we first started practicing, it was like, you're like, yeah, man, I got the Chicken Shack and the Lumber Shack lined out for us. And I was like, hell yeah, dude. We got some gigs. And from there, it was like, okay, here's this whole, like, five-month itinerary of, like, gigs we're playing. And I was like, geez.
Well, because I remember when we first talked, I said, yeah, I'll give you guys at least one gig a month. And they were like, cool. And but then, like, 3 months go by, and we're like, all right, when are we going to start gigging? Like,
Well, it's just a really cool, I mean, it's like, impossible to describe just the sheer amount of work it takes just to play one show with a four-piece band and not sound like total asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, like, hours, and it's, like I said, a second job, you know? So it is, it's incredible. Yeah, just looking back, like 6 months ago, we were like, you were like, you guys want to be my band?
And yeah.
We were like, okay, let's try it out. And it's like, all right, we're going down to
shoot. We had talked about it, I mean, over here after Pig Fest, or was it before Pig Fest?
It was after. After Pig Fest. You came in and cut some demos.
Yeah,
that's right.
And we were kind of like picking your brain about what you were wanting to do. And you're like, I kind of want to get a band together, but the first band I had didn't really work out. And
yeah. And it was interesting, but I never thought, because I knew the path I'm rolling, I was going to need one, because I can't just keep playing acoustic forever unless I'm literally the luckiest soul on earth. But I think what we've done sounds so good. Like we've done a hell of a
people
job.
People seem to dig it.
Yeah,
that's
people
sure.
dig it. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with that.
Speak for the three of us. I mean, the shows we played, to actually have like crowd interaction.
I dig it.
No, I was like, so holy cool. shit, people actually like what I'm playing?
Yeah. I dig it. It's like Rick James says, cocaine's a hell of a drug. But I mean, you play a live show and you have crowd interaction, it's just like, whoa, this is the best feeling ever.
It's cool, man.
You can almost tell when, like, you know, when you played a set and you're like, you go out there and you ask everybody how it sounded, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, man, it sounded good.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it didn't. No, it didn't. But when we feel like we get like genuine reaction out of people.
I mean, when you can rock the Lumberjack's ass cheeks clean off.
When you make somebody cry by playing Simple Man, that's how you know what it's like a dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
That. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it's so cool, and I'm so thankful for literally everyone that I'm surrounded with, you know, fan base-wise.
Sounds like you have
an
incredible support system.
Dude, they're awesome, man. I mean, like, imagine those shows like without those people, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it makes it
without
really easy.
Eddie, without Eddie, we're all nothing.
Yeah. Without Eddie at a show, it is not the same.
Hey, man, after Tumbleweed, Eddie made me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
he grabbed me, dude.
Yeah.
Physically, like, I thought I was going to get in a fight at Tumbleweed. And he was like, not bullshit, brother.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah, man.
Yeah, we love us some Cousin Eddie, but but yeah, dude.
Well, I play just for Eddie. I don't play for anybody.
Yeah,
else.
No.
I just see that shining face out in the crowd, man, and I know.
Yeah.
Make lobe in both hands.
Double fist.
Levi, how'd you get? How'd you fall into country? Was it those shows at those stuff at the Blue River and stuff like that? Where
I mean, I think that's kind of my roots. I mean, and I'm not a traditionally, you know, boot stomping, two dancing music guy.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I'm not saying like you are country.
Yeah,
and that's all you do.
But I listen to a lot of that kind of music, like Hayes Carl, Blaze Foley, like John Prine, people like that. Like those were kind of like
great songwriters.
Subliminally put into my brain by my family growing up, you know. That's kind of what I listen to, and everyone goes through phases, but I think I've been fortunate to have a very broad, you know, interaction and interest in all sort of different kinds of music. Like everyone went through their like 2000s rock phase, their alternative, and then like their metal phase and
the rap phase,
you know, things like that. But
I'm still in that phase.
Oh, come on.
That's fucking
but I think that you know, listening to all those and not being like real judgmental of like certain types of music, I really think it gives you the freedom to kind of pick and choose what you enjoy the best and kind of use that to create your own kind of music. Because I think everyone's influenced by styles, you know?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I just can't quite put a finger on, like, what I am yet. You know, I think it's still kind of early in the game to do that, but...
It's always, that's the hardest, man. Trying to
Well, and it's total bullshit, too. It's like, define yourself, you know, in like one word, in two words, you know? And it's like, fuck, man, I can't.
It's just, I mean, it's like you're saying, though, like you have so many different ways to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And like something I try to do as a musician is I try to pull from all of it. Like that's my style. It's like add a little bit of everything to it. Be different. So
I'm not sure if a musician or an artist ever really like, accurately describe themselves. I think other people do it for themselves, like do it for that musician.
Yeah,
that
I think because I've had like articles written, and they're like this country musician or this red dirt musician or this Texas country musician, and I'm like, cool, that'll work.
I'm from Oklahoma, damn it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like calling something rock music or country music. You know, it's just like now that pretty much stands for next to nothing.
40
I guess.
Or 50 years ago, you could
do that.
You could do that. But now, man, there's just so much like you were saying, you go through all these phases, you know, when you're like...
I mean, at this point, what even defines the term country music? Someone sings with a twang?
Not to talk shit, but like nowadays, country is like you have a southern drawl or a twang or some sort of accent. Then they throw a trap beat behind it. I'm like,
I'm going to be honest, I don't really think I have like that big of an accent.
You don't have an accent. All your voice traditionally isn't country.
No.
You know, your voice is very much like not country at all.
And I could if you want me to.
Please don't.
Please don't.
Life's a garden. Can you dig it?
Yeah.
It's kind of setting you outside from a lot of people.
Yeah, I think like you've always done, just stick to being yourself.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's pretty much what it comes down to.
It's worked for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, all right, well, awesome. You guys got any more questions for Mr. Walker here? What's your favorite beer?
Coors Latte.
Hell yeah, Coors Latte.
Ones that go down cold.
Yeah.
But we can talk about some of the shows. Some of the cool shows we got going.
What are some shows we have coming?
Our next show is at Butcher.
Yeah, we can. That's April, yes, April
29th.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, so Butcher Barbecue in Wellston, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Wellston, Oklahoma.
And then after that, we've got a string, a pretty much 3-day string of shows in a row. May 12th at the Chicken Shack.
Mm-hmm.
May 13th, we're opening
Avery
Stinnett at Grady's in UConn. And then the 14th will be in Fort Worth Stockyards.
That weekend's going to be fun, man.
Yep. And then
it's gonna bust be a blast. Shit. That'll be awesome. Mm-hmm.
It's been a blessing for sure, to say the least, so.
Where can everybody find your stuff?
Right now, I think the best thing to do is to hit us up on Facebook and Instagram. And then on April 14th, we'll have a live demo dropping, a 5-song live demo that we're pretty excited about. So I know it's been a long time coming to put out
you
music.
You already
but,
know.
That's hopefully. Another thing. When are those EPs supposed to come out, or has that been released yet?
We're working on releasing, you know, a few singles here in the coming months, but it'll be a while till those are done.
I was going to say, you're going to trickle this thing probably down until like, what, October or November?
Yeah,
or
probably.
Like
I mean, but I think for now, the 5-song demo that we did together,
it's going to hold over people
for
here
sure.
at the studio, I think I'll be pretty cool because they sound great. So
I was going to say, they sound good for, man, just being in
being
the
in
live
the
room
yeah.
in there and just knocking them out. They sound so,
came out
good.
Sounding pretty decent. Yeah, it was fun. So,
pretty stoked about that. April 14th, mark your calendars.
Yeah, and that's just Levi Walker. You can find him, like you said, Facebook, Instagram. You find this up on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. And you can find the podcast everywhere else.
And for people wondering, Levi Walker is his real name. That is not a made-up country name.
Yes.
He was blessed to have a great country name.
There's not like at least once a show, if not once a show, every other show, I introduce myself as Levi Walker, and someone comes to me and they go, "Damn, that's a nice name."
That's what I'm saying, man. We need to be Levi Walker and the Texas Rangers. People would lose their shit.
Yeah.
It's almost as good as like Shooter Jennings. That's a great fucking
Dude,
country
that's
name. But like, yeah, that's a good country name.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah.
All right, Levi, thank you so much for coming in. This has been the Spark and Plug Talks. I'm Dylan.
I'm J-Rod.
Ron Dog signing off.
See you guys.